Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Monday, August 31st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as second baseman Xavier Edwards was placed on the 10-day IL with a thumb sprain. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out, but in the meantime, Javier Sanoja will be the Marlins' everyday second baseman as Leo Jimenez takes over at the hot corner. Second baseman Jared Serna was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. He will be the club's backup utility infielder. Serna is a 24-year-old right-handed hitter who at AAA has batted .221 with 12 homers, 14 steals, and an 82 WRC+. But that's Xavier Edwards to the IL. Next, we have first baseman Wilson Contreras, who was placed on the 10-day IL with a hamstring strain. He'll miss at least the next 10 days with that leg injury. Catcher Mickey Gasper was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move after having a huge month of August. He's going to be on the strong side of a first base platoon, replacing Wilson Contreras, and Gasper will split time with Andrew Bonasterio at the cold corner. Then we have a bunch of reliever IL placements. The Rangers placed two relievers on the IL. Peyton Gray hit the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation, and Cole Wynn hit the 15-day IL with a rotator cuff strain. The corresponding moves were the recall from the minors of Ben Peoples and Robbie Alstrom. We saw reliever Nick Davila get placed on the 15-day IL with a shoulder joint sprain. The Mariners activated reliever Cooper Criswell from the 60-day IL in a corresponding move after he missed nearly 3 months with a shoulder strain. And lastly, reliever Bryce Wilson was placed on the 15-day IL with a back strain, and reliever Abner Uribe was activated from the 15-day IL in a corresponding move after missing about 3 weeks with a forearm flexor strain. Uribe will rejoin the Brewers bullpen as their top setup option behind closer Trevor McGill. In terms of transactions, second baseman Ketel Marte was activated from the 10-day IL. He missed the minimum time with knee inflammation, and he'll see most of his time at DH to keep him off of his knee, while Ildemar Vargas sticks at the keystone position and Tim Tawa holds his role at first base. Third baseman Jose Fernandez was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Cade Povich was recalled from the minors to start in Colorado. It was a tough assignment, but he tossed five innings, allowing five hits with one run, three walks, and four strikeouts, inducing 10 whiffs with 21% CSW across 87 pitches. And Povich had pretty solid pitch separation between his four-seamer and curveball against right-handed batters, but he bounced a few too many curveballs and had terrible fastball shape. In course, it's expected. And regardless, he survived in baseball's harshest environment. And Povich could stick around to create a six-man rotation for September, especially with rosters expanding. Though Povich still has two more minor league options, and we've seen him up and down throughout the season. So it's not guaranteed that he sticks in the Orioles rotation. Reliever Anthony Nunez was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in other Orioles news, they claimed outfielder Luis Robert Jr. off waivers from the Mets after he was waived by the club last week. It's unclear where Robert Jr. fits into a crowded Baltimore outfield situation, but I'm sure they're going to try to get him into the lineup any way that they can. And this will be before Robert hits free agency. So maybe they're just trying to get him in there, and maybe he enjoys Baltimore enough to stick around after free agency. Next, outfielder Tommy Pham was traded by the Phillies to the White Sox in exchange for cash considerations. If you're saying, whoa, didn't we already have the trade deadline? You can still trade minor leaguers after the trade deadline. And Tommy Pham has not played a lot in the majors this year, and he's been in the Phillies minor league system. But he's heads to the White Sox, and he's expected to have his contract selected from the minors today to join the White Sox major league roster. They also acquired outfielder Jake Cave from the Rays in exchange for cash considerations. rotation. So the White Sox making a couple moves for some veteran outfielders. Next, first baseman Mark Vientos was activated from the 10-day IL after missing 1.5 months with a fractured hand. Vientos will be on the short side of a first base platoon for the Mets. And lastly, shortstop John Peck had his contract selected from the minors. He's a 24-year-old right-handed hitter who is the Tigers' number 20 prospect at four levels in the minors this year. He's batted 288 with 11 homers, 22 steals, and a 120 WRC plus. And Peck looks to be the backup utility infielder for the Tigers in September. Outfielder Corey Jolks was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, today rosters expand. Every team gets two more roster spots, so we're going to see a ton of promotions, probably an extra reliever on every single team. But we'll see some big prospects return and some guys return from the IL. I'm going to run through some of them that are expected to occur, but tomorrow we'll run through every single notable September call-up. Let's start with catcher Will Smith, who is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL today to reclaim everyday catching duties for the Dodgers. He's been out for nearly 3 months with neck inflammation. Next, outfielder Lázaro Montes is expected to have his contract selected from the minors today. He's a 21-year-old left-handed hitter who is the Mariners' number 5 prospect and the number 56 prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. At AA and AAA, Montes has batted 247 with 38 homers, 8 steals, and a 137 WRC+. He's got good plate discipline with a 14% walk rate, but he strikes out a lot, 31% strikeout rate. Montes is a true outcome guy, a lot of power, lots of discipline, lots of strikeouts that can play in standard leagues, but it's unclear where he will play for the Mariners. He could be forced to be in a platoon with somebody like Taylor Ward, who would be on the short side, but maybe Taylor Ward platoons with DH Dominic Canzone instead. Anyways, Montes is certainly one of the most interesting power prospects in the minors, and he is entering the majors today. Next, catcher Leo Bernal is expected to have his contract selected from the minors today by the Cardinals. He's a 22-year-old switch-hitting backstop who's the Cardinals' number 7 prospect. At AAA, he's batted 279 with 16 homers, 9 steals, and a 116 WRC+. And catcher Jimmy Crooks was optioned to the minors in preparation for Bernal's arrival, suggesting that Bernal will be the everyday catcher for the Cardinals moving forward. Speaking of catchers, Rafael Marchand is expected to be activated from the 10-day IL today after missing over a month with patellar tendonitis. He'll return to being the Phillies' backup catcher to JT Realmuto. Next, first baseman BJ Murray Jr. is expected to have his contract selected from the minors today. He's a 26-year-old switch hitter who is the Cubs' number 19 prospect. At AAA, he's batted 294 with 16 homers, 9 steals, and a 128 WRC+, but he's unlikely to get regular playing time for the Cubs with Michael Busch locked in at first base and Michael Conforto locked in at DH. But BJ Murray getting called up by the Cubs. Next, first baseman Yohandy Morales is expected to have his contract selected from the minors today. He's a 24-year-old right-handed batter for the Nationals who at AAA has batted 286 with 25 homers, 6 steals, and a 126 WRC+. There's not a clear path to playing time for Morales in Washington with right-handed batters Andres Chaparro and Brady House at first base and third base respectively, but maybe Morales takes over at DH. There hasn't been a regular in that role all year for the Nationals. Next, outfielder Victor Mesa Jr. is expected to be activated from the 10-day IL today after missing the minimum time with a hamstring strain. Mesa should take over in right field for the Rays on an everyday basis, forcing Johnny DeLuca to take the short side of a center field platoon. Next, catcher Ethan Salas is expected to have his contract selected from the minors today. He's a 20-year-old left-handed batter. He's the Padres' number 1 prospect, and he's the number 23 prospect in baseball. He's been a long-hyped backstop prospect. So Ethan Salas finally coming to the majors, and he's had his best offensive season this year at AA and AAA, batting 296 with 10 homers, 17 steals, and a 115 WRC+, and he should immediately take over as the Padres' everyday catcher. Next outfielder Nick Morabito is expected to be recalled from the minors today. He's a 23-year-old right-handed batter. He's the Mets' number 13 prospect. At AAA, he's batted 254 with 13 homers, 42 steals, and a 96 WRC+. He actually made his MLB debut earlier this year, but he didn't exhaust his prospect status. He could be the Mets' everyday left fielder moving forward, showcasing some impressive speed there, and that would force Brett Beatty into some new role, likely a utility role. Next, utility man Ben Ross is expected to have his contract selected for the minors today. He's played all over the field, even pitching some throughout his minor league career, so he can play infield, outfield. He's the Twins' number 13 prospect. He's a 25-year-old right-handed batter. Ben Ross at AA and AAA has batted 274 with 20 homers, 20 steals, and a 125 WRC+, but there's no clear path to playing time, and with his positional versatility, he's likely going to be a backup utility man. Second to last, we have outfielder Riley Green, who's expected to be activated from the 10-day IL today after missing about 3 weeks with a hamstring strain. He'll return to being the Tigers' everyday left fielder. And lastly, outfielder Denzel Clark is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL today after missing more than 4 months with a foot bone bruise. Clark is an incredible fielder in center field, but Henry Bolte has been pretty solid for the A's. I think Bolte is likely to move to left field, allowing Clark to get everyday run in center field, forcing Carlos Cortez to the bench or to the strong side of a DH platoon with Max Muncy. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Monday, a day in which we had just 12 games on our slate. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with third baseman Alex Bregman, who helped the Cubs to a win against the Brewers, going 3-for-6 with 3 runs, 3 home runs, and 4 runs batted in. He's up to 23 home runs now. The first one went 376 feet at 99 miles per hour. The second one went 395 feet at 101 miles per hour. And the third one went 397 feet at 99 miles per hour. Impressive game from Alex Bregman, going deep 3 times, and he's turned his season around with a historic August that has seen him go deep 3 times in a game twice already, giving him 12 home runs in August, more than he had entering the month, more than he had all year entering the month. 11 home runs entering August, 12 home runs in August from Alex Bregman. And in concert with Red Hot teammate Pete Crow Armstrong, they became the first pair of teammates to combine for 25 or more homers, 25 or more walks, 50 or more runs batted in, and 50 or more runs scored in a calendar month since Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle in July of 1961. That's pretty incredible company for Alex Bregman and Pete Crow Armstrong. Next, we have outfielder Dalen Lyle, who helped the Nationals to win against the Marlins, going 3-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 20 home runs now. The first one went 406 feet at 102 miles per hour, and the second one went 373 feet at 107 miles per hour. And Lyle continues a huge second half that has seen him turn his season around from solid to impressive. Since the All-Star break, Lyle has batted 282 with 10 homers and a 135 WRC+, a noticeable improvement over his 246 average, 10 homers, and 89 WRC+ from the first half. The turnaround is supported by impressive Statcast metrics, as well as Lyle is barreling the ball 11% of the time with a 46% hard hit rate, and expect Lyle to be a huge run producer both in the runs and RBI departments in September. He bats leadoff or cleanup for the Nationals, and I think he'll do that even with James Wood on the IL, even if he never returns to the lineup. Lastly, we've got catcher Ryan Jeffers, who helped the Twins to win against the Tigers, going 2-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 12 homers now. The first one went 420 feet at 105 miles per hour, and the second one went 384 feet at 96 miles per hour. Jeffers opened the season on a tear, batting 295 with 7 homers and a 167 WRC+ through the first month and a half before he suffered a fractured hamate and underwent surgery that forced him to miss 2 months. And rightfully, he hasn't been as dope as he was in the early going since returning, but he's still been one of the better hitting catchers, batting 256 with 5 homers and a 124 WRC+ since returning. The power has been absent until Monday for Jeffers, but the further he gets away from surgery, the stronger his wrist will become, and thus his power will start to return. And this impressive 2-run homer game on Monday from Jeffers could be just the start of it. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Monday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Ian Seymour, who did all he could, but the Rays lost to the Mets. He tossed six in the third innings, allowing six hits and 300 runs, walking nobody while striking out 10. He induced 19 whiffs with 36% CSW across 88 pitches, and Seymour tied for the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 19 whiffs. And this wasn't even Seymour at his best. He could have been better if he wasn't pushed into the seventh, where he served up a leadoff home run and then left a runner on base that ultimately came around to score after he was pulled. Seymour usually displays great pitch separation, locating north-south with fastballs and changeups. And while his pitches were all over the place on Monday, he actually did a good job of living on the edges and taking advantage of a very aggressive Mets lineup that swung at over 50% of pitches out of the zone. It allowed Seymour to return 74% strikes despite a 38% zone rate and induce six whiffs apiece with his four-seamer, changeup, and slider. Since making his first start in June, Seymour has been one of the best strikeout arms in baseball, fanning 31% of the batters he's faced across 16 outings, and we're starting him everywhere in Texas next. Next, we have Anthony Molina, who helped the Giants to win in Atlanta, tossing five innings, allowing six hits and 300 runs, walking nobody while striking out six. He induced 18 whiffs with 37% CSW across 75 pitches. And with so many injuries, the Giants are desperate for starters right now. So there's no more perfect time for Molina to show up and audition for a more significant role, either moving forward or heading into 2027. Escaping Coors was a godsend for Molina, whose stuff has improved dramatically and thus his performance as well. He not only showcased an impressive four-seamer that sat 96 plus miles per hour with 18 inches of IVB, allowing it to induce nine whiffs, 39% CSW, and 75% strikes, but he also displayed the ability to keep his secondaries low as he has a changeup for left-handed batters and a slider that should really be labeled a cutter and a curveball that should be labeled a slider. It had perfect gyro movement. That's usually what you see from a slider, not a curveball. And if you could find a little more polish on his secondaries and get his fastballs a little higher to avoid the heart of the plate, I think there's even more potential than Molina displayed in this impressive team debut with all those whiffs in this one. He's actually a sneaky deep streamer in Queens next. And lastly, we've got Clay Holmes, who helped the Cubs to win against the Brewers, tossing six shutout innings, allowing five hits and two walks while striking out eight. He induced 14 whiffs with 38% CSW across 101 pitches, and Holmes earned the King Cole by leading baseball with that 38% CSW. Holmes is a perfect fit for Chicago. He's heavily reliant on ground balls finding gloves, but with baseball's preeminent defense behind him, he should return fortunate Babbitt marks on a regular basis, allowing him to efficiently plow through lineups. It helps when Holmes is able to do some of the work himself, tying his season high with eight strikeouts. It was a bit concerning to see him sit one to two ticks down on everything, and that'll be something to keep an eye on in his next start. But he looked dominant here, and he's allowed just one run total across his last four starts. We're starting him everywhere in Miami next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Monday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Kodai Senga recorded his fifth save with a hitless ninth. Eric Tolman pitched a perfect six-out save for his first save of the year. Clayton Beter was nowhere to be found in that one. Brian Abreu pitched a hitless ninth for his eighth save. Josh Hader was unavailable after pitching in three of the past 4 days. Andrew Kittredge recorded his ninth save with a scoreless ninth. And lastly, Yoan Duran pitched a scoreless ninth for his 29th save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Dylan Smith pitched a scoreless ninth with a four-run lead after the Giants tacked on an insurance run in the top half to ruin Smith's save chance. Andres Munoz allowed a run in the eighth inning while attempting to escape an inherited jam and attempting to secure a five-out save, but he ultimately blew it, his ninth blown save of the year. Aroldis Chapman pitched a perfect ninth in a tie game and earned his third win when the Red Sox walked it off in the bottom half. Jordan Romano pitched a perfect ninth with the Rockies trailing by one, and David Bednar allowed three runs, pitching the eighth down by six. I have no idea why he was pitching in that one, but sometimes you just gotta get the closer in there. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before I look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Tuesday, September 1st, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Jesus Luzardo versus Eduardo Rodriguez. We've got a pair of southpaws squaring off. Both of these guys have been on incredible runs this season. Luzardo, since his first few starts, has been one of the best pitchers in baseball, whereas Erod has been on a season-long Vargas role with impeccable command, and he's just been good against every single lineup. I'm excited to see what both of these guys look like when they square off against each other. In terms of probable starters, we've got six guys in the auto starts tier, including Luzardo. We've also got Gerrit Cole versus the Angels, Gavin Williams versus the Blue Jays, and Paul Skenes versus the Giants. Our probably starts tier has four guys, and our questionable starts tier has seven, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Eric Lauer versus the Cardinals. It's a weak Cardinals lineup, and Lauer pitches for the Dodgers, giving him a pretty good shot at earning a win. So if you're looking for a win with maybe questionable ratios and not a lot of strikeouts, Lauer is your guy. I'd also keep an eye out for Sean Manaea in Tampa Bay. He sort of stumbled across his past couple of starts, but he's still throwing harder. He's still got a great sweeper. He's somebody that can strike out a lot of batters and has a long leash. So if you're able to be a little bit risky, you're going for upside. Sean Manaea is a good guy to chase in Tampa Bay. If you're looking for a pitcher with an opener, Connor Prelip should have an opener versus the Tigers. And the A's are starting Brian Basso, and he should be opening for somebody. Fangraph suggests it's going to be Ryan Majdic in Texas. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Padres and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark, one of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see Randy Vasquez square off against Nick Lodolo in that one. I'd also target Braves and Nationals hitters in Nationals Park. We'll see AJ Smith-Shaver and his 5.93 ERA square off against Jake Irvin and his 5.62 ERA. And lastly, I target Orioles and Rockies hitters in Coors Field, the best hitters park in baseball. We'll see Cal Bradish square off against Gabriel Hughes in that one. And I will close things out with our relievers to watch. Andrew Kittredge has pitched in three of the past 4 days, but so has Rico Garcia. So maybe Yennier Cano gets a shot at a save. He's also pitched three of the past 4 days, but they were 3 days in a row, and he got the day off on Monday. And lastly, Kodai Senga has pitched in three of the past 4 days. So if the Mets want to give him the day off, Daniel Duarte will be their best option for a save on Tuesday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support PitcherList staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the PitcherList stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.